This episode of Enterprise Radio is brought to you by the Before It Happened podcast series. From transportation and AI to just anything you can put in your home, office, or pocket, you'll hear from the innovators themselves as they tell their stories of how they brought those visions to life. To listen in or to subscribe, simply visit beforeithappened.com.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, this is Eric Dye, and welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program is Mr. Michael Politz, the founder and publisher of Food and Beverage Magazine, the leading online magazine and resource in the industry. Mr. Politz has developed and branded multiple celebrity bar and nightlife concepts and has consulted for Fortune 500 companies such as Hallmark and Safeway Foods. And Mr. Politz, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Well, thank you. I love that bio. I wish I wrote it.
Well, awfully deserving. You can't go without mentioning it. So thanks for joining us. Hey, tell us that you're an accomplished author and publisher. First, tell us about your latest book. Second, tell us about your magazine, if you would.
Well, the magazine, Food and Beverage Magazine, started that 20 years ago, which is so very exciting, right? And literally, we just came out with our book, Guide to Restaurant Success. So I figured, after 20-something years of reading, hearing failure stories and reading success stories and hearing success stories, right, it was time to put all this together. And truly, the book, Guide to Restaurant Success, was really based off of the failures. The failures. I wanted to call it How to Fail Up in the Restaurant Business, but they wouldn't let me. Wiley Publishing said, no, we're not using the word failure in a title.
Well, I hear you on that. So much to learn from failures, and it would have been a great idea, but I'm sure there are reasons that are unknown. Now, what has it been like to grow the magazine during a digital age? Talk to us about that.
That is exciting, right? So we started the magazine way back when, right, 20 years ago, when I was just a young baby. It was all it was hard copy, and we basically hand-delivered them, and then we sent them out, right? Then at one point, we said, all right, digital's really coming in strong. Let's take it to the next level. For the simple reason is we could charge our advertisers less, right? You didn't have to charge the $10,000, $12,000 a page. You could charge a lot less, and you could get more readers. So somehow, by the good grace of God, I realized this early on, and we literally jumped into a pool of digital where nobody else was swimming. And it was very scary. I felt like I literally ran out and jumped off of a cliff at the Grand Canyon. We lost a lot of advertisers because they were not advertising digitally. You know, digital wasn't that big. This was about 10 years ago. And luckily that I held on for dear life, and everything turned around. And now we're the largest red trade publication in the hospitality industry.
Well, that is certainly unreal. And really interesting, and even going back to 10 years ago, that's pretty interesting stuff right there. Now, tell us about what inspired you to get into the food and beverage industry to begin with, and any mentors to mention that helped you along the way.
Well, I can give you the short answer for what got me into the publishing of Food and Beverage Magazine business is, prior to this, right out of college, I had started a floral wholesale company. So we were selling basically flowers to flower shops, restaurants, hotels, the general public, caterers, event people. And two places that I was advertising the flower business was one, sports radio. Because we were open to the public. So I would advertise to men. I would advertise roses for $9.99 a dozen. And we would be busy all day selling roses because it would be inexpensive, right? And the other place was in restaurant magazines. So whatever city we had stores in, I would look for restaurant-based, catering, you know, hospitality-based local magazines or newspapers, and I would advertise there because that would build us our base of standing orders, which would pay all of our bills, and everything else would hopefully be gravy at that point. And that's how it did work. By the end, I said, I'm spending so much money on advertising all these different cities, all these different restaurant magazines. When I get out of this flower business, I'm going into publishing a restaurant magazine. Hence, I moved to before I moved to Las Vegas in 2001, I started Food and Beverage Magazine. Then I moved to Las Vegas because that was the beginning of the epicenter for culinary and high-profile chefs. At that point, I met Robin Leach, who was Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and he mentored me and introduced me to some Wolfgang Puck and some amazing chefs. The rest is history.
Again, it is interesting, and you're in an interesting and appealing industry, and I'm sure there's a lot you could share over the 20 years you've been involved with this. Now, this episode, again, is being brought to you by our partners at the Before It Happened podcast series. Before any world-changing innovation, there was a moment, an event, a realization that sparked the idea. The Before It Happened podcast series is a show about that idea. Each week, host Donna Laughlin takes a deep dive into a singular light bulb moment that inspired the visionaries to push forward and change our lives. To listen in or to subscribe, visit beforeithappened.com. Again, that is beforeithappened.com. Today, we're joined by Mr. Michael Politz, the founder and publisher of Food and Beverage Magazine, the leading online magazine resource in the industry, and he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, Mr. Politz, how does Food and Beverage Magazine differentiate itself amongst others in the space?
So one of the great things that we did in the beginning of launching Food and Beverage Magazine is we wanted to make a connection between the hospitality workers, the industry, the kitchen guys, the chefs, and pop culture. And we wanted, and we know that the connection was always there because they were great celebrities. I mean, even back to like Raquel Welch's husband owned pizza places, right? So we were able to really, really highlight, find who owned part of what. Robert De Niro and all these guys are owning restaurants and worked with Nobu and made him a celebrity. And we're bringing that back so they can have that connection. It's like wearing your favorite gown from that you see somebody wearing at the Academy Awards, or buying the lipstick of a celebrity wears, right? We wanted to build that base, and we did a very good job. Prior to that, all the magazines in the industry were talking about how many clams to put in a clam chowder, right? I knew these guys already knew that because they went to school or they've been working for years. They don't need recipes. What they need is success stories and that can help motivate them to become more successful.
It makes a lot of sense and a lot of fun I'm sure you're having involving pop culture in the food and beverage space. Now, tell us, for those that are tuning in and have an interest in launching a publication, what is your advice to others that have that desire to launch a publication of some kind?
Do a lot. If you're going to want to launch a publication, make sure there's a target audience for readership and a target audience for advertisers to that readership, right? Pinpoint it. I work every day with different people opening businesses, right? whether it be restaurants or convenience stores or liquor stores or even publications. I'm working with somebody now, and the person didn't comprehend who the target audience was first, and then. Because if you don't have that set, you don't know who the target advertiser could be, right? It's not just throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. It's let's target it, make it work, and give information. The more information you give, the more they're going to come back all the time, right? They're going to keep coming back. I think we post 10 to 15 stories a day, and it's exciting because one of those stories could inspire one reader out of 14 million a month. If one reader gets inspired, we're happy. We know it's more, but one makes us happy. We do it for the one, right? It's like when you open a restaurant. If you come in and you get a table for one, that is the greatest compliment any restaurateur could ever have.
Yeah, I really do appreciate that input. That is certainly most helpful and very thankful for your thoughts in those regards. Lastly, you have a book, you have a podcast, and you also talk about what's had a deep impact on your thinking. Can you share a story in those regards and explain why it was so resonant with you? Love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, one of the fun things we do is we started a podcast network, and we were really trying to build a food and beverage podcast network, right? Where all the chefs would come and do their podcast shows and all the brands would come in. That didn't work out, right? Like a lot of businesses, things don't work out. People weren't putting in new shows. People weren't uploading it. There wasn't a lot of traction. I believe it was because they weren't seeing the money, right? There wasn't a lot of money, so you get a lot of listeners in that world. So instead of just calling it quits and throwing my hands up and crying and running away that I failed at something, we turned it into a food and beverage magazine live, where we then took our star podcasters, which we did have a few, one of them is James Beard Award winner journalist Jennifer English. And we then said, okay, let's turn this into a video So it's on all our social media. It's always up on YouTube. And then let's go out and interview live via video success stories in the industry, whether it's wineries or spirits companies or food companies. And that seems to have worked a lot better for us, at least. And it could be because of time-wise. The people in our industry have been very busy. During the pandemic, there was more time. They had more time to search and research who we were and what we were doing. We were able to get a lot more interviews of people that weren't as busy to help move people forward. But again, that's what it's about, moving people forward. Just another tool, another asset that we have, as my book is and as the magazine is.
It's fascinating, awesome, and so interesting what you've been able to accomplish over your 20-year history with your food and beverage magazine. And I'm sure listeners want to know how they could follow you online and get further details on yourself. Where's the best place to do so?
You can just go to fbmagazine.com. Everything's there.
And there you have it. Easy enough. Again, that is fbmagazine.com. Mr. Politz, all the best. Continued success, and thanks for being a part of Enterprise Radio.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Our pleasure. We've been speaking with Mr. Michael Politz, the founder and publisher of Food and Beverage Magazine, the leading online magazine and resource in the industry. And for all the details, visit fbmagazine.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.
This episode of Enterprise Radio was brought to you by our partners at the Before It Happened podcast series. Nearly 20 years ago, Donna Laughlin launched a public relations firm with the sole purpose of helping visionaries tell their story to the world. Now, two decades later, she's sharing those stories and more with you. To listen in or to subscribe, simply visit BeforeItHappened.com. Again, that is Before It Happened.com.